Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be preaching today from the second reading that we heard from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we hear your word to us today, fill us with your Holy Spirit and work in us Christian hope. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as those do who have no hope. The Apostle Paul's big concern in this text is for Christian people who are lacking hope for the future. In particular, a lack of hope because of the power of death. They are grieving. We don't know exactly why the death of their Christian loved ones unsettled them so much, but we know that it did. And we do know, don't we, that grief is a powerful thing. Grief can do strange things to us at times. And so it's to this experience that the Apostle Paul wants to bring true encouragement and hope. Not just some vague wish for the future, but the robust, informed Christian hope that is sure, that is certain. Dear friends, if you lack hope for the future in one way or another, if you grieve the power of death in this world in one way or another, here is encouragement for you this day. And the Apostle Paul will bring us to this in three ways. First, by getting us to look back to something in the past. Second, by getting us to look forward to something in the future. And finally, by getting us to look beyond into eternity. So first, he gets us to grow in this informed Christian hope by looking back. Now, this is a principle in general life that can be important, the importance of looking back. I remember my history teachers talking about this sort of thing. I can't remember the exact saying, something about walking backwards into the future. The idea being that we need to learn from our mistakes in order to move forward. The same sort of idea even shows up in the management and self-help literature these days. If you look it up online, you'll find things about looking back to move forward. Well, something similar applies in our spiritual lives, the Apostle Paul is saying. We need to first look back. But what do we look back to? Because I don't know about you, but if I look back into my own life, into my own history, it's not necessarily good news all the time. It's not always encouraging. I can look back, for example, to my own sins, to my own failures. I can look back to what I think are my achievements, but even those seem to fade away. And so what do we look back to? Not to what we have done. We look back to what God has done in Christ Jesus. We look back to the death and resurrection of Christ. That's the anchor of our hope, Paul says. He says, since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus God will bring with him those who have died. Do you ever wonder if God really has the power over death? Do you ever wonder if perhaps the grave is the end? Do you wonder if we return to dust and that is that? Where do we find hope in the face of the stark realities of this world? Well, notice what the Apostle Paul says. That our hope is not based on speculation about what may be possible beyond death. Our hope is not based on some wish fulfillment about what might be. Our hope is not based on near-death experiences or dramatic stories about people who say they've been to heaven and have come back. Nothing like that. Informed Christian hope is based on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ in history. In Christ, God has already conquered the grave. And as the Christian person is united to Christ through baptism, by faith, in receiving the body and blood of Jesus, his resurrection becomes the certainty of your resurrection and of those Christian loved ones who have died. Through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. Imagine you're talking to a doctor or a surgeon even, because you've been told that you need some quite serious operation. You have to go under completely, a general anaesthetic, and so of course you're anxious. You're fearful even perhaps. And so what does the surgeon say to you to try and bring encouragement in that moment? Well, if he's experienced, perhaps he says, "Don't worry, I've done this many times before. I know what I'm doing. I've brought people through this. I'll be there when you fall asleep, and I'll be there when you wake up." And by the way, here's something I don't always tell all my patients, but I've actually had this operation myself. Here I am, living to tell the tale. That past completed work, it brings you confidence and hope in the present. And Christian people, we look back to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we have hope now and into the future. First, we look back. Second, though, the Apostle Paul calls us to look forward. And this is an important principle in our lives as well, isn't it? Just generally, I mean. Yes, it's important to look back and to learn from our mistakes, but it's so important in life to have things to look forward to, isn't it? And so the Apostle Paul, too, gets us to look forward in Christian hope to something. What do we look forward to? We look forward, he says, to Christ's coming again. "For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call and the sound of a trumpet, God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air." So as the Apostle Paul gets us to look forward to Christ's coming, how is this to bring us hope? The first thing to note here is how this argument is meant to work that Paul is making here. Why is he focusing on the order of things that happen? Here's the basic idea, I think. These early Christians, they were worried about their loved ones in Christ who had died, who had fallen asleep. They were worried that at best these people would be at a disadvantage when Christ comes again, and at worst that perhaps they were completely lost in death. Again, we don't know exactly why this confusion and unsettledness in the early Christian community, but it was there. And so it seems what Paul is doing then to really emphasize that they don't need to worry about this, to build up their informed Christian hope, he says, not only are they not at a disadvantage, but Christ is coming for them first. Can you see how this is going to build up their hope, this emphasis? He's saying, don't worry, they're not getting left behind. They're going to have pride of place in a sense. It's like when a child perhaps is trying to stay up for New Year's Eve fireworks, trying to stay up late, but they fall asleep and their brothers and sisters are worried about them. No, they're going to miss out. But mum and dad say, don't worry, I'll wake them up. And guess what? I'll even hold them in my arms so they get a really good view. It's something like that with their Christian loved ones. He's saying, don't worry about them. The dead in Christ will rise first. They'll have the preeminent view of the glory of the coming Redeemer. Be encouraged by this. That's the first thing he's saying here. The second thing to get here, though, is the imagery, the basic picture that we are given. It's quite a lot going on, isn't there? There's the Lord descending, a loud cry, an archangel's call, a trumpet of Christians being caught up in the clouds and the air. How are we meant to understand all of this and picture it all? It seems to be quite a mixture of imagery that's going on here. Some of it is from the Old Testament. So clouds in the Old Testament are always to do with the revelation of God's presence with his people, albeit in a mysterious sort of way. Trumpets similarly announce the presence of God in the Old Testament at Mount Sinai, at the temple and other places. But there's also here, most commentators agree, a sort of scene that would have been fairly obvious to people in the ancient world. A scene which seems to be something like a city of people welcoming back a conquering king. So you're meant to picture that the king is victorious. His messengers go out in front of him and they perhaps have trumpets and making loud announcements, letting the people know that the victory has been won and the king is coming back and you are invited out now, outside the city gates, to meet the king as he returns, to join in the victory procession. This is the sort of picture of Christ's triumphant return and us meeting him. I was talking about this with Pastor Fraser during the week, and he suggested a modern everyday picture might be something as simple as going out to the airport to meet a returning loved one. Most of us have had that experience, of course. Someone's overseas, perhaps for years, and so when they return, we go to the airport to meet them. Maybe there's sights and sounds which announce their arrival. There's great joy there as the person returns, as we meet them. And one of the significant things about that picture is that people from different places can be drawn together, can't they? Friends, even family you haven't seen for a while, you meet them as well because you have in common this person you're welcoming back. This is an aspect of our Christian hope. That as we're caught up in the clouds, this happens, it says, together with them. Together with the dead in Christ. There is this joyful reunion with those who have died in Christ. Those who are asleep in Christ. As we together meet the Lord in his return. So we look back to Christ's death and resurrection. We look forward to his coming again. And finally, we look beyond. We look beyond to that final day when, as the text says, we will be with the Lord forever. Informed Christian hope, it looks back through history, it looks forward through history, but even more than that, it pulls us beyond history. It pulls us into eternity. But notice the focus here is not eternity as some sort of abstract concept. It's not a Christian hope of just vague immortality. But the focus of Christian hope is being with the Lord forever. Every other blessing of eternity, it flows from that central experience. Those of you who were here a couple of weeks ago may remember that I preached on the new covenant. And I spoke there about the final goal being to know the Lord. There's something similar here. That the goal of Christ's death and resurrection, the goal of his coming again, is simply that those who belong to him will be with him forever. With him. in the deepest, most profound sense imaginable, or perhaps unimaginable. I think it's so important to keep this beautiful simplicity in mind when we hear all the wonderful imagery of heaven and the life of the world to come. So, for example, when we hear of the great marriage feast, when we hear of the eternal city with streets paved with gold, when we hear of the great multitude of saints and angels from every tribe and language, it's so important to keep in focus that all of it revolves around being with the Lord. It's the marriage supper of the Lamb. The city has Him as its glory and light. The multitude is around the throne of God. I was thinking about this and an illustration came to mind. I remember when I traveled to Europe for the first time, I was only 19, and I went on a Kentucky tour. Some of you will know those by their reputation. Needless to say, as a 19-year-old on one of those tours, even though I visited all of these wonderful cultural places in Europe, I didn't fully appropriate and appreciate what was there to be had. But a number of years later, I had the opportunity to go back. I traveled there with my wife. And we went to many of the same places I had been before, and sometimes I went to these cities and I could not believe it was the same place I'd been before. Now, I was a little older, to be sure, slightly more mature, but there was something more important, I think. It's that I was with my wife. It was funny. Everything seemed different. There is something mysterious which happens where it is as if your surroundings are almost transformed by the presence of the one you are with. And our Christian hope is being with the Lord. It's the Lord Jesus to whom we look beyond. Your Lord Jesus who loves you. Your Lord Jesus who has died for you and forgiven all your sins. Your Lord Jesus who rose again to secure your resurrection. He is your hope. And notice the promise. It's not that you will be with Him just temporarily or intermittently, but always and forever, the eternal joy of His presence. And so the Apostle Paul says, encourage one another with these words. We do still experience grief and sorrow in various ways. We do still experience the sting of death in our lives. And so we can at times lack hope. So let us receive the work of the Holy Spirit through His word today to grow us in this informed Christian hope. By looking back to Christ's death and resurrection, by looking forward to His coming again, by looking beyond to being with Him forever. God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.